Lord. We just need your touch upon everything that we do, not just this day, but every day. And I just ask you, Lord, to lead us, help us, speak to us today with the truths that we're going to talk about. Holy Spirit, teach us, open our eyes, save that one that may come through these doors today or on these grounds that may be lost, God. I ask that you would save them and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness for their sins. Lord, we pray for your anointing on this day's activities. Lord, help us to not just be busy for the sake of being busy, but God, help us to walk in step with you each and every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. It is so good to see you guys this morning. I am glad that you are worshiping with us early on a Sunday morning. We're going to be doing things a little bit different this morning, and probably for the next couple of three Sundays, we're going to mix it up a little bit, and I think that it's going to be a blessing to you. I know there'll be more people coming in as time goes on, but I want to make sure that everybody gets one of these booklets that can read. I told Harry, as folks were coming in, now you be the judge of who can read and who can't read, but everybody that's old enough to read needs to have one of these booklets. Everybody, don't share. You need your own book. Plus, you need something to write with. And if you don't have anything to write with, we have pens. And so I'm going to ask the ushers in just a moment when we receive our offering to take some of these with them as they go. And if you need something to write with, so you'll have something. But you need the material. We've got plenty to go around, and I am really excited about what we're going to be talking about, because I don't know of anything apart from the gospel itself than our need to tell other people about the gospel. That's important. That's a big deal. So we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Let me just remind you, though, next Sunday, we'll be collecting our shoe boxes, and I always look forward to seeing all the shoe boxes up here. And we'll be praying over and dedicating those shoe boxes next Sunday, and we'll be making sure they get to where they need to be. So I hope that you'll bring yours in. I would even go so far as to say you could probably, if you forget, don't panic. You can bring it in on that Sunday night. So as far as announcements go, anybody have an announcement to... Dawn has some names from West Jackson School through the Salvation Army Angel Tree. She's got three left up here, and I think various different ones have different names. I think there's some from C.C. Wright. There also is going to be some needs, I think, from Ebenezer as well, that they're going to have, as well as some of the things that we normally do. Anybody got anything, an announcement?
Play practice at 4:00, education.
Okay. Just in case you didn't know, we did round up enough to do the play. We were kind of in question about that, which I think is kind of sad when you think about it. I'm tickled we got 10, but I declare, for a church our size, it's hard to beg. It's a shame you got to beg, borrow, and plead for 10 folks. But we got them. So thank you, Lord. That's answered prayer. It sure is. So I'm glad that that those of you that are working at 4 o'clock this afternoon, I think also deacons meeting at 4:30, no choir practice this afternoon. Goldie. Okay. All right, guys.
Good morning. We're doing this song for... Veterans Day, and you know, just Renee and I was talking the other night. Her grandfather was in the war, and where they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, he was one of the first ones in there. And we was talking how they never really talked about it, and I remember my dad, he was in the Korean War, and he never would talk about it either, you know. And about a month before he died, I actually had him out in a stroller, taking him up the street just so he could be outside for a while. And he got to talk to me about how they were positioned on this hill, and that there was several platoons there, and they pulled his platoon out. And the next day, the Koreans come in and actually, you know, took out everybody who was there. And he actually broke down and just said, but we wasn't there for him. You know, and it's like lots of times I think we just take it for granted. And that's what this song is about. So I hope you listen.
This is what we're going to be doing. And this is what I'm asking you to do, and praying that this will, the scripture and what we're going to be talking about will, I'm just convinced and believing, is going to take care of a lot of itself, and you will want to participate and make every possible attempt to be here. I think every Sunday is important, amen? Not just Christmas and Easter, but every Sunday is important when it comes to getting together with God's people. But I hope that you will see the significance of what we're going to be talking about over these next several weeks. What we're going to be talking about is looking at the Word of God. And if you've, I know you've thumbed through your material and you know that it's full of the Word. It's full of the Scripture and a lot of other information. Feel free to write in your booklet. That's yours. You'll get another one tonight. And you'll get another one next Sunday. And you'll get another one the next Sunday night. Different really material each night. But for the benefit of others who may not, while I want you to take your material home, please leave your pens. So we can, if you could just drop them off up here at the front, so maybe folks that don't have anything to write with in the second service, that they'll have some. What we want to take place is that in Union Baptist Church, that I believe not only God, the Holy Spirit working in us, that we can create in this place a culture of soul winning and sharing our faith, not just as a church, but as individuals. What we're going to be talking about this morning is why we don't. Why we don't. What I'm convinced a lot of times, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's because we lack the motivation. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes we just not motivated. We know what we need to be doing. We're just not motivated. Tonight we're going to be talking about developing our own personal testimony. Now, not like the way sometimes testimony services go into church. This is something that you could share with somebody at Walmart or in the line. If you've ever stood in line at Walmart, you know you got time to do that. And something you could share in 3 to 5 minutes, real brief. And we're going to work on condensing it so you can do that. We're going to talk about further how we can, as a church and also as individuals, become fearless. One of the reasons that we don't talk about Jesus any more than we do, we think, well, either people are not interested or we're just kind of afraid to. So what I hope this will be a time for you to get equipped to better be able to share your story, because nobody's got a story like you got. Nobody's got a story like you have. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about also, in the last Sunday we're going to talk about is what how that we can appropriate what we've learned through the power of God. And basically what it means is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a key. Something we ought to every... And Renee and myself are working with PowerPoints. And you know, I'm not very computer savvy. So this ought to be an experience we're practicing on y'all. And I think we're going to do okay. So you pray that God's going to work. All right, Renee, let's get it going. What do I mean by witnessing? What exactly are we talking about? Well, you know, there's different words that we use to talk about witnessing. We could say soul winning. We could talk about just simply sharing Jesus, evangelism. All those are kind of synonyms for what we're talking about. But I want you to understand that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just inviting people to church. While that's good, but let's just face it, folks. Lost people are not coming to church. In fact, I could read you a whole long study that you probably wouldn't be very interested in. And I hope this don't make you nervous as I'm kind of moving about. I like to kind of get out amongst you. You know, everybody sits in the back, and I like to kind of, I hope I don't scare anybody, because I'm not going to do anything scary. But listen, think about that. The gap between the people that don't come to church and the folks in church getting wider and wider. So what we need to do is we need to bridge the gap. And what I mean by that, not just simply say come and hear or come and see or come to our church. While that's good and there's a place for that, but going and telling them about Jesus, about your story, about what Christ has done for you. We're not going to be talking about giving money for missions. While that's a good thing, we've got one of our major emphasis coming up, the Lottie Moon Christmas offer. We're not going to be talking about giving money to missions so others can go to places that need to hear. We're talking simply about sharing the gospel.
sharing Christ one-on-one with the folks you go to school with the folks in your family, with the folks that are your neighbors, with the folks that you work with, in a non-threatening way. When I say the word witness, that scares some folks to death. Matter of fact, sometimes it scares. I've knocked on many doors and hoped somebody wasn't home. Have you ever done that? You knock on the door, and then when they don't come, whew, I'm glad it didn't come to the door. I'm going to be honest. We all deal with that. And that's what we're going to talk about, is how to overcome that. So I hope we've got a lot of good information. Okay, Renee. But what happens sometimes, don't you notice that phrase, virtual evangelism? What does that mean? Because sometimes what we do is we come to church, we sing about Jesus, we talk about Jesus, we talk about witnessing, but we really never ever tell anybody outside the four walls of the church. In fact, I was thinking about a good illustration of this. I remember when I was taking driver's ed, and that's been a long time ago. But I remember over at Starmount, they had a driving simulator. You know what I'm talking about? Man, it was so old. It was even a three-speed shift. That's what we were driving in, that driving simulator. That's how old it was. But you walk into the trailer, and you get into the chair, and you have something up on the screen, and you're driving, and you're going down the road. It looks like you're driving, but you never leave the campus. You know what I mean? It's simulated. And then you walk outside the trailer, you realize you've never gone anywhere. Virtual, simulated driving. And sometimes that's the way it is in the church when it comes to evangelism. We talk about it. Gary, it'd be kind of like, you know, you all the time talking about fishing but never going. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? It'd be like, I remember my stepdad, Leo. Y'all know Leo. He loved to fish. I remember seeing him oftentimes sitting out in his carport, and you have a tackle box about the size of something that'd go on the back of a truck, and he'd be out there, and he'd be working his lures and getting his stuff ready. It'd be the same thing as Leo going through all that motion out there, but never going to the water. So we need to move past virtual evangelism and actually begin to do that. What is sad, though, and studies time and time again show this out. And in fact, I read some, to lay a big word on it, missiology, which is missions, okay, study of missions, that they have, through their research, found that 1 out of 200 people are involved in a meaningful way in a Great Commission. Now, however you want to define that as meaningful, 1 out of 200. That's not very many. In fact, they say that 95% of the average Christian will never lead anyone to personal faith in Christ. And 90% will never even try. Will never even try. Because that's the preacher's job. That's somebody else's job. So what we're talking about this morning is destroying apathy. Why aren't we motivated? Why aren't we motivated? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So what we're going to do is deal with some principles and read some scriptures. All your scripture is going to be is found in your little pamphlet. All the scriptures are going to be found up on the screen. So I hope you'll follow along and write, and you know, just write whatever you want to. Even if you're playing tic-tac-toe, it makes me think you're interested in what I'm saying if you're constantly writing. Why aren't we motivated? Well, let's answer that question. Principle number one, and I want to be sure everybody gets to fill in their blanks. So if you notice you got blanks, you can fill this stuff in. Principle number one, some Christians ignore or misunderstand Jesus' commands. Some Christians ignore or misunderstand Jesus' commands. All right, you notice there in the scripture, it's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I'll tell you what let's do, just to kind of keep you awake, let's read this scripture together, okay? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All right, go to the next one, right? John 20, 21. Let's read this together. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now that's real important. That's an important principle, because we know as the Father in heaven sent Jesus, so Jesus has sent us, the Bible says. So sometimes we just ignore the principles or commands of Scripture. It's kind of like I've had this story for a while. I thought it was pretty good. Sometimes we're kind of like the a man that Norman Cates told about in this kind of funny story. Maybe you can relate to this story, that he prayed this prayer every single morning. He said, "Lord, if you want me to witness someone today, please give me a sign to show me who it is." One day he found himself behind a big burly man on a bus. And the bus was nearly empty, but this guy was right next to him. The big guy burst into tears, began to weep and cry. He then cried out and said, "I need to be saved. I'm a lost sinner, and I need the Lord. Won't somebody tell me how to be saved?" And he turned to the Christian man there and said, "Can you show me how to be saved?" And then the believer who prayed that prayer every morning prayed to himself, "Lord, is this a sign?" You remember the old story, I don't remember. What was the guy's name that said, "Here's your sign"? Bill Engvall? All right. That's our sign. You looking for a sign? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then there's several other scriptures there that are listed under principle number one. Not all on the screen, but certainly you can look at each one of those that remind us that we are to preach the gospel to every creature. But we just simply ignore that. We just simply ignore that. Or we don't understand. But I want you to know, first off the bat, it's our responsibility, everybody's responsibility, to be involved in what God is doing. I want you to also understand, some believers are evangelists. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible makes it pretty clear. Go on to the next scripture. It says, let's read this together, Ephesians 4:11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, what does that mean? It means that God has gifted the body with certain people that are gifted in evangelism. I think it's safe to say that Billy Graham has the gift of evangelism. I'll never forget sitting in Charlotte Stadium where the Panthers play, and when he was preaching a crusade down there. Actually went Saturday morning, then went back Saturday night, went for the children's thing Saturday morning, went back for the youth event Saturday night. But I remember sitting there and him preaching a simple gospel message. And then when the invitation was played, "Just as I am," people just got up from their seats and went down to the front. Something like most Baptist preachers don't get to see very much. Why would you say that? I believe one reason is that Billy Graham has the gift of evangelism. Now, this is what I want you to understand. While some believers have the gift of evangelism, go ahead, Renee, all of us are witnesses. Some are gifted in that way. I would say Neil Hatfield has the gift of evangelism. He has the gift of drawing the net. He has that capacity. I would say I don't have the gift of evangelism. But as a pastor, the Bible says I'm to do the work of evangelists, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me illustrate it like this. There are some people that you know that really know how to pray. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you have something on your heart and you want them to pray, that's who you're going to go talk to. If you're sick, you're going to have a test run, you want them to pray for you. But yet, it's all of our responsibilities to pray, right? Same way with giving. There are some people that have the gift of generosity. I mean, they're just generous people. There's folks in this church that are incredibly, incredibly generous. But while you may not be gifted in that way, yet the Bible says all of us are supposed to be givers. While there are spiritual gifts, some believers are evangelists, but all believers are witnesses. Let's read this together. But ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. All right. It's important, though, when we're talking about motivation, it's important for us to understand the why of witnessing. That's what motivation is, isn't it? It's the why. Understanding why we should be doing what we're doing. This is pretty lengthy here out of Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. Let's read this together. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I want you to notice that phrase there. Maybe you want to underline it. I've underlined it in my booklet. It says, made known to all nations. That includes our own community. That includes our own county. That includes our state. That includes our nation. And that it certainly includes the nations. Because there are countless unreached groups. But we got to begin where we're at. It's God's will for us to do that, without a question. That is what God has called us to do, without a shadow of a doubt, to understand the why. Because what we need to understand is, go ahead, Renee, God's desire is that all people should worship him through Jesus Christ. You see, what happens is when we talk about our faith to other people, we share our faith, then that creates more worshipers. And then when more worshipers come, then more worshipers go out and share their faith. And that's the process that should be constantly going on. More worshipers, more people worshiping and sharing their faith on a regular basis. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. That the abundant grace worship should lead to witnessing, which leads to more worshipers. I call your attention to, I hope you'll read all those little things on the sidebars. There's a lot of good quotes, a lot of good information there. That one quote by John Piper, when it talks about let the nations, out of his book, let the nations be glad. God is wanting all people to work, because everybody's worshiping something. You know, there's folks this morning, they're worshiping something. They're not here. You say, well, they're not in worship. Oh, they're worshiping something. They might be worshiping. You know, you talk to people about maybe coming to worship. You know, they say, well, this is the only day I have to be off. It's the only day I've got to rest. What are you talking about? Go to church. But yet they fail to realize that it is God is the one that gives them the strength to go to work every day. So they're worshiping pleasure or worshiping rest, and that is God's will for us, to worship and to invite others. Worship should lead to witnessing, which leads to more worship. All right, so we know that the reason why many do not witness is because some have misplaced or some have ignored or misunderstood Jesus' command. But I want you to know the second one is that many Christians have misplaced priorities. Now, what does that mean? Many Christians have misplaced priorities. I want you to read this verse with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. All right, now let's take this a phrase at a time. When we talk about some Christians or many Christians have misplaced priorities, one of those things that gets in the way are the cares of this world. And I would say the worries of life. The worries of life. People are more busy than they've ever been. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you're probably sitting here thinking about what you got to do tomorrow. What you going to do this afternoon? Well, I hope you'll come back for session number two tonight. Everybody in here. But I also realize that's wishful thinking because I've been pastor for a long time. Because what happens is one of the things, the cares of this world, the worries, the busyness of oftentimes us just going from point A to point B gets in the way. I'll give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. You know, not only are people just busy, but oftentimes we're busy doing what we want to do. I mean, our kids are involved in more extracurricular stuff than ever. There's more things to distract. There's more things to deter. And we fall right in line oftentimes and are dictated by the cares of this world. Now, I shared this, I think, on a Wednesday night. But just to give you an example of what I'm talking about. In the context of oftentimes this keeps us from sharing our faith. I went to the hospital one day. to Forsyth Hospital, and I asked for a particular lady's room, and the dear lady there gave me the wrong room. You know, oftentimes in some hospitals, if you don't have the exact correct name, they won't give you correct information. So, this woman had given me, this was twice for her, so I don't talk to her anymore. She gave me bad information, but she sent me to the wrong room. I didn't realize that when I was going there, but I stepped into the room, and you know how it is when you go into hospitals. Once you're in the room, you're in the room. I mean, like for South Hospital, if you've ever been there, you go in the door, and once you're in the door, there's not any, well, I didn't mean to come in here, and you're not going out the side. No, you're there, and you're going to have to turn around and go back out. So I was there, and there was an older woman there with her, I believe, I don't know, her daughter or friend. But looking back on that, I thought, as I was leaving, do you ever do things and after you do them, you think, man, I've just missed a great opportunity. Because you see, what I was thinking, I had somewhere else I needed to be. I had somewhere else I needed to go. And I didn't consider the fact, while I didn't know this woman, it was a perfect opportunity to talk to her about Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why God and the confused woman at the desk sent me there. But you see, what we do is we allow the cares of this world that allow us to have misplaced priorities. And what did I do? I said, I'm sorry. And the lady even invited me to stay. Said, well, you don't have to be in a hurry. So as I was leaving for South Hospital, I was kind of beating myself up because I was thinking I missed a great opportunity to just simply talk to her about Jesus Christ because I had somewhere else to be. The cares of this world cause us to have misplaced priorities. Secondly, the deceitfulness of wealth. Oftentimes, we let money drive all our decisions, don't we? In fact, even when our children are trying to find out what they want to do, we oftentimes encourage them instead of saying, honey, why don't you pray about what God wants you to do? But we tend to say, well, you can make more money doing this. Because we're oftentimes driven by the deceitfulness of riches. Instead of saying, what does God want you to do? What does God want us to do? It's encouraging for me to hear about people who, even though are in places of influence and places of position, have chosen to be open about their faith. I know if you watch the World Series there's a young man from our state, matter of fact, from Caldwell County, that was the MVP of the World Series. His name's Madison Bumgarner. He's a left-handed pitcher and certainly made a name for himself. He pitched in that series. He pitched in three games, won two, got one save. Historic event. I mean, you know, people, even athletes today are so soft, they can't do anything like that. But listen to what happened. After all the confetti had fallen and the decibels had quieted, this is what Madison Bumgarner said. He said, "The biggest thing I want people to know about me is that I'm a believer, that I'm a Christian, not just a baseball player." Matter of fact, I think his dad described him as the kind of guy who would steal a steak off the devil's plate. When later asked what Jesus means to him, the San Francisco Giant star replied, "Everything. He's my Savior. I live for Him. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for Him." Well, this is a young man who'd been given success, but he used it as a platform to talk about Jesus Christ. Now, my point is, oftentimes, we allow the deceitfulness of riches. He could have allowed the deceitfulness of riches to keep him from speaking about his faith, but he didn't. So you have the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things. You know, this could even be a battle for us in the local church, because think about oftentimes what we're involved in church that are good things, but maybe are not the best things. And maybe even in your life, what are you involved in that are good, but maybe not the best things? You say, well, what are the best things? Well, the whole point in us talking about this teaching is the best thing that any of us can do is to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. To tell someone else about Jesus Christ. So we know, certainly, as we've been looking about, some Christians misunderstand or ignore the commands of Jesus. Our sign is Matthew 28, and also where the scripture says we've been sent as Jesus has been sent. We know also it's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things cause us to have misplaced priorities. But also I want you to understand, and I think this is probably the most important thing that we need to talk about this morning, is that most of us that are saved forget about the fate of lost people. And I'm not talking about people in Washington, nor am I talking about people in Wyoming, but I'm talking about people in Wilkes County. Guys, I'm talking about people you hunt and fish with and play golf with. Ladies, people that you're in contact with doing whatever you do. Our friends. The parents that we're sitting with as we're watching our kids practice or as we're watching them play ball. Most of us don't understand, or either we've lured ourselves to sleep when we think about the fate of lost people. Now, this is a pretty lengthy passage, and I'm just going to read this to you. You follow along, okay? Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. We're going to read it in sections. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." So you got a story of two guys. You got a rich man. Think about what it means. A rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Let's just say it like this. He probably bought his suits at a different place than where I buy my suits. He may have had his tailor-made. You know, a tailor-made suit's probably about $500 or $600. Very expensive clothing. Very expensive chariot, maybe. He had it all going on. And he fared sumptuously, the best of everything. The nicest house, the nicest clothes, and the best food. That's the rich man. Then you have Lazarus. Now, this is not the Lazarus that was risen from the dead, that was the brother of Martha and Mary. But this man was a poor man, Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus, of course. If you were to look them up in your Bible, you had a red letter edition, you'd realize these were the words of Jesus. And then you have a poor man. by the name of Lazarus. And the Bible says that he was there at the gate full of sores. So you got the rich man passing by this guy every day. Every day. Every day. He's at his gate. Every day. And what you understand is, the Bible says that both of them died. So what we need to understand is, everyone is going to die. I know you know that. We can't stay here forever. Everyone is going to die. The rich man dies, the poor man dies. Everybody is going to die. And there is two destinations. But we don't like to talk about that, do we? That's the reason these plastic surgeons are getting rich. Because we will go to the nth degree to make ourselves look younger or to do whatever's necessary. But the fact of the matter is, I was just talking to Dawn this morning. I declare it's always something as you get older, isn't it? A lot of you guys are older than me. But it's always something. Something going on. Because our bodies decay. Because everybody is going to die. I thought about this. What would it be like? I'm hoping to live to be 100. Nathan, I am. I'm hoping to live to be 100, that one of these days, it won't be Willard Scott because that would make him probably 160, I don't know, 150. But one of these days, my face will be on a Smucker's jar on the Today Show. And maybe they'll have Matt Lauer or something. Maybe he'll be old and decrepit then, and he would be talking about me. And this would be how I would like for it to come down. I would like for that day that I was going to die is it be turkey season, and I would go that morning, Lynn and myself or someone else would go, and we would go out and kill a turkey with about a 24-inch beard, about just a huge, humongous turkey that it took two men to carry out of the woods that day, on shoulders or something, you know, just carrying it out like a casket. And then come home, and being that my wife is the great cook that she is, cook me a wonderful meal after killing that big turkey. Cook me a meal and just be so full. Maybe even that afternoon later, go play a round of golf, shoot the best round. You know, even if I shot 99, that would be pretty good because, you know, I would be 100 years old. And then just sit down in the recliner late that night and close my eyes and wake up in heaven. Wouldn't that be a great way to go? But the fact of the matter is, we don't get to choose, do we? In fact, I think it's kind of interesting. I just had some obituaries here. And this could be any given day when you think about it. I'm just going to read, you don't know any of these folks, but I'll just read some of these names. Steve Walker, 47. Leonard Thomas, 79. Roger Fisk, 24. Nellie Dunn, 76. Deborah Cole, 35. Muriel Brown, 79. Monica Averhoff, 12. So my point is, everyone is going to die. And it's not just old people that die. Young people die. Middle-aged people die. Everyone is going to die. And listen to what the scripture says. It says, and in hell, the rich man, in hell he lift up his eyes. Being in torments. I want you to circle the word torments. Underline that word torments in your paragraph. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Now, I want you to notice here, you've got the rich man in hell being in torments, being tormented in the flame, and you've got Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. So you've got two people dying, and you've got two destinations. I want you to also notice that hell is real. Hell is real. Certainly the Bible tells us that Lazarus, that the rich man didn't want a bucket of water. He didn't want a bottle of water. He wanted a drop of water that his tongue could be cooled. Hell is real. You know, as I've been a pastor through the years, I know one thing that kids have done is draw pictures. Sometimes kids will hand me a picture as they go out. Maybe they'll draw me or they'll draw something that I've talked about. But the guy that developed this material talked about a 9-year-old girl that had drew a picture of hell and gave it to him one day after he had completed the teaching. I want you to notice, I'm on each one of these sections. This was her idea of hell. The first, you notice it's got bars or something. You've got homicidal maniacs in one place. All right. Then you've got terrorists in another place. Then you've got super liars are on another place. But this is the kicker. Do the last one. That says people who drive too slow in the fast lane. So you get the idea of what her parents thought that the people who drive too slow in the fast lane ought to wind up, don't you? But hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. And you know, right now, there are people there. Just like the Bible says, go to the next frame there. Keep going. All right. Luke 16:25, but Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." You know what Scripture's saying there? I want you to visualize something. We don't have one aisle in our church, but just imagine this right through here being a great gulf. This separating the loft or the choir of the church from the rest of the church. A great gulf. And just think of it as being 1,000 feet wide and 1,000 feet deep. However you define it, a great gulf that separates the two in the words of Jesus. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hell is a real place. But also, there's no second chance. You know, people get new trials all the time. We hear that, especially with all this new DNA evidence. People get new trials. But I want you to know there's no second chance if you die without Christ. If our loved ones die without Christ, there's no second chances. None whatsoever. Because the Bible says, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Have you ever had anyone, you're good right there, Renee. Have you ever had anybody tell you, "Well, you know, I got a lot of friends. You know what we're going to do when we get to hell? We're going to have a big party." Have you ever heard that? Lift your hand. Anybody ever told you that? "It's going to be a big party. I'm going to know a lot of people there. People I hang out with now. It's just going to be a big party." But you listen to this scripture. Luke 16:27-29. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Now, he's talking about send Lazarus to my father's house. "For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." What was Abraham talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. So in essence, what you could say is, he was saying, they have the Word of God. That's all they had at that point in time, the Old Testament. They have Moses and the prophets. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. First of all, you could remind someone that tells you that hell's going to be a big party. But notice the rich man was there. And he didn't want his brothers to come and party with him. But rather, he was wanting someone to go to them. In fact, if Lazarus would just go. Yeah, they'd believe Lazarus. But I want you to notice. Look at that scripture, what it says. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. For those that would say, well, God just needs to show me a miracle. God just needs to show me a miracle. That's what I need. No. No. If people will not hear the word, want to hear about the gospel, the miracles won't save them either. Because listen, God uses the gospel, not miracles, to save people. You know, I've thought often, think about, what if God had chosen a different way? You know, maybe if I were God, maybe I would do it different. Say, for instance, you know, God send an angel to everybody that's lost. Say, for instance, I were to come up to Barbara. Barbara, you don't mind me picking on you, do you? And I was an angel, and I'd come up to her and tap her on the shoulder and say, Barbara, you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm an angel. Might work. What about an email? Text message. But do you understand? Go back one, Renee. God uses the gospel. God has chosen this phrase. Write this down. I want you to write this down. People that know Jesus, telling people that don't know Jesus how they can know Jesus. That's God's plan. People that know Jesus, telling people that don't know Jesus how they can know Jesus. Well, based on all we've talked about, what do we do now? This is the first step. What do we do now? Based on what we've talked about in God's Word, what should we do today? The Bible says in James 1, verse 22, be ye doers, let's read this together. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, let me bring this down to where we're at. You may say, well, you know, I kind of like this. This is a little different. Different little setup. It's pretty interesting facts. I like that. Got to laugh a little bit. Preacher kind of walked around a little bit. A little different. Then there'd be some say, well, I didn't like that. Well, that's irrelevant to the whole thing. If we leave here and it doesn't make a difference in how we live, then we're only hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And it'd just be one more portion of information that we know about, but we're not motivated to talk about. So, this is what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you today to decide to obey the Lord when it comes to witnessing. I know there's several immigrants. How many parents do we have in here today? Okay. Let me ask you this question. How many of you like it when your children do what you ask them to do? Raise your hand. You know what I notice? Yeah, Sandra's got both hands up saying, she would say glory back there, I believe she would. We love it when our children do what we tell them to do. Well, listen, how much more does our Father in heaven love it when we do what He tells us to do? So I'm asking you to do. That's what the Scripture says when Jesus was praying in John 17. Go ahead, Renee, flip the screen. He said, this is Jesus' words in John 17. He said, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work that Thou gavest Me to do. That was Jesus saying. Just as Jesus wanted to please His Father, we ought to want to please our Father, our Heavenly Father. So I'm asking you to decide to obey the Lord. Second thing I'm asking you to do is to ask God to give you a burden for people. I've got some 3x5 cards up here. And this is what I'm asking you to take home with you today. It just simply says, this week, pray every day, Lord, I want to obey You in witnessing. Help me care about my coworkers, classmates, friends, and neighbors, and family the way You care about them. Now, I'll be straight up with you. Because, you know, I think we've played around with this long enough. If you're not going to do that, you're not interested in that, I'm not asking you to do anything to please Me. I'm asking you today to decide to obey the Lord in witnessing and ask God to give you a burden for people. Because in a sense, our problem is we care about a lot of things. We care about our kids doing well in sports. We care about our kids making good grades. We care about, you know, making sure we've got retirement. We care about a lot of stuff. But let's just be honest, folks. Sometimes we just don't care that much about lost people. Because as long as our family's saved, as long as people I know and hang out with saved, then we're good with that. But I want you to understand something. Go ahead, Renee. You cannot be neutral in this issue. Let me remind you of what Jesus said. I believe there's another frame there. These are Jesus' words. He said, He that is not with Me is against Me. And he that gathereth not with Me scattereth abroad. So I guess what I'm saying is you're going to make some kind of commitment this morning in your heart. Either going to be yes or no. And then when we get ready to go, I've asked Harry to have some of these cards, and then maybe Donnie, if you'll get some of these cards, or however y'all got it worked out. But I want you to take one if you mean it. But I'm going to ask you to make a commitment this morning. Don, would you go to the piano? I'm going to set this thing up how we're going to close. And we're just about done, okay? You know, this morning you may be here. And you don't know Christ as your Savior. I mean, we've been talking. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen. I'm telling you, this is your future we've talked about. I've not told you anything that wasn't in the book. So I would surely ask you this morning, if you don't know Christ, please, please this morning, please this morning, I'm going to ask you to come forward and let me help you know how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. But for the rest of us, I'm going to ask everybody to stand, okay? And I just want you to bow your heads in reverence to the Lord, okay, this morning. Would you bow your heads? Nobody looking around. Nobody will know what you do, what you did. But I'm going to ask you this simple question this morning. Would you do those two things? Would you this morning decide to obey God in this issue of witnessing? And secondly, will you pray this week for God to give you a burden for lost people? This is what I'm going to ask you this morning. If you're going to do that, Now listen, I'm just asking you. Don't do it because somebody else is doing it. Would you just raise your hand? Left hand, right hand, it doesn't matter. Okay, thank you. And I appreciate you can put your hands down now. Thank you for those of you that raised your hand. Thank you for those of you that didn't. Because for whatever the reason, you had the courage to at least be honest about what you're talking about. Maybe there's an issue, maybe that's keeping you from doing that. I don't know. But listen, this morning, if you are committed to doing that, certainly I want you to get a prayer card and certainly be committed to being in all these sessions. But while Dawn is playing, is there any other prayer need that you might have? If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you were to die that you'd go to heaven, would you come and let me help you know how you can be sure? I know it takes a lot of courage to make that step. You may be a church member. You may be a church member. Jesus Christ died for you, and He rose again. That's the gospel. When we believe that with all our heart, it changes us. Father, this morning I thank You for Your help. I thank You for Your strength. I thank You for these words, for Your word. God, overwhelm me in my own personal life with a sense of responsibility and a burden to tell other people about Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that You will do the same in all of our hearts, dear Lord.